Hey, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
How's it going today?
Oh, good. I have a few buttholes for you.
Get it. Let's get some buttholes going.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you asked. So our first one is from a listener who just gave me some more information on Steve McQueen. And, you know, we talked about Steve McQueen being an amazing director, but also he is an artist. And I wasn't aware of him being an artist, but he won the Turner Prize in 1999, which is one of the biggest awards in art. And so then I did some researching, and a lot of his art is still based in like the video world, but it's really, really fascinating. He actually just had an exhibit in Beacon. So that was just something that was really neat to know about him, and also why that would be even a, I feel like, a better opportunity for Grace, because it's like, not only do you get to work with this director, but you get to work with this visual artist. And so LTW, gotcha. Relax. And then the other I have is that they got a little bit wrong with the ages of the kids. So Maureen reached out.
Oh, yeah. This was interesting.
And she was talking about when Carrie is running away from Burger and Sex at the City. And she runs into Adam wearing his baby Bjorn, and he tells Carrie the baby's name is Tate and proceeds to tell her that they have three boys, Homer, Wyatt, and Tate. And just like that, Tate is the oldest. So unless they are triplets who are like minutes apart, but also years apart at the same time, and they have invented a new human, they are wrong. And the oldest would be either Homer or Wyatt. I always find that interesting that they didn't think of that, that no one was like, wait.
It just falls in that category of things that we just let go to go on with the series. But yeah, how did no one, like no one on the writing team was like, all we have to do is just have his name be Homer or whatever. Like, I don't know.
Well, they did enough research to remember the names of the kids, right?
Right.
Which were only, I believe, in that episode. Like, that's the only time we really get that information. So why didn't they go back in the episode and say, okay, these are the... But anyway, the next one is from Cammy, who is just saying that they do mention Harry's father in season 2, episode 10 of And Just Like That. Charlotte calls him at work and tells his assistant it's an emergency. And when he picks up, he said he thought it was his father has died, because he always thinks that. But it was just Rock needing their notebook.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then we also got a ton of feedback from parents saying that they agree with us about the way that we feel about Aiden and the way he's handling things with Wyatt.
We're right.
No, but I'm just saying, like, they were like, yes, like, you know, that Kathy is doing a great job and Aiden needs to really, like, settle down.
Yeah.
Do you have anything?
Nope, I got nothing.
Okay.
I had read about the kids' names being wrong, and it is correct that it is a weird thing to have gotten wrong. But yeah, we'll get into some stuff in this episode that I kind of bump upon as well. So we're here today to talk about Under the Table, which is a fine name. I don't really know what it means, but okay. So this debuted June 26th, 2025. It's directed by Julie Rottenberg. It's worth noting that Julie Rottenberg's been in this universe for a very long time, since Sex and the City days, but always as a writer before. So this is actually only her second episode that she's directed after There Goes the Neighborhood from season 2. And then this is written by Rachel Palmer, this is only her second episode as an official writer. She wrote Bomb Cyclone in the second season. And before that, she wrote for Two Broke Girls, which would have been her Michael Patrick King connection. Yeah. And we start with Carrie's writing of her book of a woman looking through her open windows and someone is arriving. And we have talk of new adventures, which all leads me to thinking like, oh, she's going to go meet her new neighbor.
Yeah.
Which is not at all then where this scene goes.
No, I love those windows. I'm so jealous of her apartment when she throws open those huge windows. Yeah, she throws on a little jingle jangle dress with a neon heel.
And this is fine. It was just a foreign concept to me that I didn't really understand, because I have looked at this house in the past, and especially in the back garden where she has like sort of the terrace that lends the stairs lead down to the garden. And then there's another door there. And in my mind, I assumed it was all one house. So I find this to be a little odd that this is someone else that lives. I guess in my mind, she bought the whole thing. It's just odd, and I'm willing to go with it, but it's just, it was an odd concept. It took me a minute to be like, okay, someone lives under her. That didn't make any sense to me, but okay.
Yes, I felt the same way. I mean, I lived in an apartment in Queens that was like a house that was transformed. It was kind of a similar thing where you wouldn't think someone would enter through there. But yeah, it feels strange that the backyard is also someone else's backyard.
Yeah, that is so wild to me. And we'll get more into it as we get later in the episode. But it was just odd. And once again, I'm going to go with it, but I think it's odd. And so now he's going up her stairs and knocking on her door. And you're always walking in heels. And we've mentioned this actor when we talked about the trailer. This is Jonathan Cake, who was in Doll and M and three different Law and Orders. And he's married to Julian Nicholson, which I brought up before. Okay, what do we think about this character?
Well, first of all, we have the whole heel montage that happens. And I thought this was all the different women meeting to go somewhere. Like, I thought they were all putting on their shoes. And we see him, like, hating it and rolling around. And the first thing I thought was, like, that's kind of my life right now. Not this dramatic, but in my apartment, I have not had an upstairs neighbor for almost a year. Like, she moved out and then they hadn't replaced it. And I just got a new one. And it's only been a month. So the sounds are louder because, like, things are moving around. He's getting settled in. Like,
gotcha.
But it is one of those things where you hear the walking and it's, you know, they're just walking, but it sounds right. Like someone's like throwing things at you.
Yeah, I have that a bit. I mean, I guess every apartment in New York has that to a certain extent. I definitely, when I lived in my other apartment, had very loud upstairs neighbors to the point where I became that person that banged things against the ceiling. And then at some point put a hole in my ceiling. So that was more my bad at that point, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I try to not complain about it at all because it's not awful. And also, I'm an actor, so they probably hear my dumb auditions in my apartment. You know, it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. But I was thinking about that. I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. I'm sorry. You're not doing anything wrong, new neighbor. I'm just saying I haven't had this in a while.
Yeah, I definitely had that, especially during like pandemic days when I remember like posting something once about like, I'm super excited for my upstairs neighbor to decide where that sofa goes.
Right. And like working out and all of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She introduces herself and this is a very inauspicious beginning. I work all night and so I have to sleep all day. And in my mind, I thought, interesting. He must be like an ER doctor who works at night. And we'll get to it very shortly, but did you have any thoughts about he works all night and so has to sleep all day?
I didn't have thoughts of that just because there's many things you can do and work all night. Like he could be a customer service representative. You know, I don't know, especially if he's at home. The thing that I was most bothered by, because he says, you know, do you have any rugs? Which there is a law in most rental apartments and co-ops that your apartment has to be 80% covered in rugs to dampen sound. She says she hasn't found them yet, like found the right ones yet. The biggest thing I had was, why are you walking around your apartment in heels? Like, that was the big thing. Is like, we've never, I don't know. I mean, we see Carrie in her apartment, but number one, heels are not comfortable. So why are you just stomping around this huge house in your heels? Number two, it's kind of gross to walk around your New York City apartment with your poop shoes on, as I call them in my house. Yeah, I just thought her response was kind of strange. I would have just said like, hey, I'm sorry, I'll take my shoes off. That's all. Episode done.
Yeah. So now we're going to cut to a restaurant and Miranda is getting a grain bowl and I think Seema's getting the burrata and Carrie's getting the goat cheese salad.
Yeah, they're at 23 Grand, which is on Grand Street at 6th Avenue. That's all.
I've never been here.
I haven't either. Yeah, and a lot of this stuff I feel like is just so Carrie can have these Carrie lines. Like even in the scene before when he asks her to take off her shoes and she says he's gone too far, a woman's right to shoes. Like, I think these are all just so Carrie can have this moment. And I'm totally on Charlotte's side. It's more sanitary to walk through your house without your shoes on.
Yeah, I wrote Charlotte plays devil's advocate and Carrie plays Devil Wears Prada advocate in order to name a season 4 episode.
Oh.
Because A Woman's Right to Shoes was the episode where, which I think is kind of funny. And I thought, I guess they never used that term in that episode, but I thought it was interesting that they reference it.
Yeah, Do you have a shoes on house?
No, I take my shoes off as soon as I walk in the door. That said, if I have people over, I don't demand they take their shoes off.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I don't know. I mean, don't you want to take your shoes off when you get home?
I would think so. And I guess it makes me want to go back and watch Sex and the City episodes to see if Carrie was always wearing heels around the house.
Yeah.
We do introduce the fact that Miranda's neighbor blasts heavy metal all the time, which that will become a point later on. And Seema making a joke about killing the neighbor and Carrie having never had a problem with a neighbor, which I guess is true. It was Lizette who that was the problem when Lizette would play her music too loud, right?
Yeah.
And now we get his name, Duncan Reeves, and Miranda knows him and he writes massive biographies. And in this moment, I thought, you stay up all night writing? Which is fine, but not a need.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because we find out he's from England and he's only here half the year. So maybe it's just where he finds his quiet because everyone else is sleeping. But it's like, then you have to respect that when everyone else is working, like, that doesn't mean you get quiet then, too. The whole world isn't quiet for you, Duncan.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit that. And we get Charlotte and Carrie walking on Thompson Street. And I do like that this is legitimately two blocks away from the restaurant they were just eating at.
And I'm assuming that Duncan Reeves is kind of supposed to be like Ron Chernow. Is
that's that kind of name? What I took it to be. Yeah, the guy who wrote the Hamilton book and he's written many biographies.
Yeah. Yeah, they're walking. I love Carrie's outfit in this, too. To be honest, they all look incredible now. Like, I think they look better now than they did in the original series. But
they do look great. Everyone has their outfits on point. And mm-hmm. we have talk of Aiden and it being kind of a relief because it's out of her hands. And I get that. The idea of like, well, she can't do anything now. Right. So in a way, it's kind of like, I can't really worry about it. Now, what I think is fascinating in this scene, the most fascinating thing is that bookstore is fake.
Yes.
Which is so wild to me because that's a residence. If you go to that street or even look it up, like you have Old Fashioned on one side and you have the Fellini Coffee Soho on the other. And in between is a residence that they've put up this sort of fake book paneling and book carts outside to make it a bookshop, which I think is an interesting choice. I don't really know why, but cool.
The reason that I immediately was like, that is a fake bookstore is because the book carts that they have outside are exact replicas of the book carts outside of the Strand. And sure. There is not a Strand location there. Like, even the signage with the $5, those are exact Strand bookstore carts. And I just thought, oh, they just took the signage from the Strand.
Yeah, it's very funny. And we have this whole thing of, like, Charlotte doesn't know what she would do if she didn't have Harry every day. So something's going to happen to Harry.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. And now we have Miranda and the heavy metal music. And this is kind of seems like Much Ado About Nothing, because all she does is slip a note under the door and the music goes away, which makes me think like, oh, problem solved.
And it doesn't even feel that loud from her apartment.
No, I feel like sound mix could have brought this up a little bit.
To the point where when I was watching it, I could hear it, but it was so faint that I thought it was coming from outside my apartment. So I pressed pause and I realized the sound I was actually hearing was from my upstairs neighbor. I couldn't even hear what Miranda was mad about.
Yeah. And now we get Harry and Charlotte walking outside the Guggenheim post dinner. And Harry did this for a reason. And I do think it's interesting. And I guess this is one thing they talk about in the Writers' Room podcast that I did, because Michael Patrick King had this idea in season 2. And there just hadn't been time. There hadn't been a way to put this storyline is. And it is funny now looking back at those two incidents of Harry wetting himself at the one club and then having issues with getting an erection in the last episode, that we find out that he has prostate cancer. And he sort of says it kind of off the cuff, having to know that Charlotte's not going to react calmly to this information.
Yeah. And what I really liked about it, too, I thought this was very smart with, like you said, with the two prior Harry instances that we didn't think about this. It wasn't one of those, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. It did get me thinking, you know, because there is a funeral in this season, right?
There is,
We still don't know whose it is. We still haven't seen Steve.
I keep meaning to bring that up, that we haven't seen Steve.
So I don't know. Like, I really, really hope that it's not Harry or Steve. I hope it's somebody, like, Pop Pop. Not that I don't like Pop Pop, but I'm saying someone who's elderly, who it is their time and they would like to go.
Yeah. I cannot imagine it will be either Harry or Steve, but I'm very curious to see where it goes.
I did love Richard Burton on Charlotte's purse. I don't know if you noticed the Richard Burton purse she has. And I also love Richard Burton in this scene, who's like over it, does not want to be there.
I do like him in this scene. You see him kind of being like, can we keep walking? What is happening right now?
Yeah, there is a 98% survival rate for this cancer.
Which I didn't know. That's a pretty great number.
And very important, he doesn't want her to tell anyone, and she is ready to quit her job.
Yeah, and I don't know what I think about. Obviously, it is his condition. Like, he gets to choose who knows. I think that you have to have a little bit of understanding that your partner will need to talk to someone besides you about it. And I don't know what the, I don't know if you're like, you can tell one person.
Right.
And it can't be Carrie because she's going to tell everybody. Like, I don't know. I feel like you have to give your partner some form of like, choose one person and please let it not be a thing. But I understand that you need to share this with someone. Right. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I didn't think about that till now, actually. And I think that it is important. And I think he can say, like, listen, I know you're going to need to process this. And like, if there's one of your friends that you want to talk to, sure. I just don't want it to be a thing that the kids find out about, you know?
Right. I totally get that. Absolutely. And I do write that I feel like, so Charlotte has a great spin on a grandma outfit in this scene. I don't know if you can picture it, but it legitimately reminded me of something that like my grandma Olsen wore, where it's like a purple top and then the pants are kind of almost like a plaid with that purple worked into them. And it really, I was like, I feel like this is way cooler than what my grandma probably wore, but it was in, I kind of had that feel to it.
Okay. I didn't get grandma, but maybe.
It probably just because it legitimately reminded me of something my grandma wore. And yeah, she thinks that maybe she should cancel camping this weekend. And he's been looking forward to glamping as usual. And I'm a little bit like, what's this going to be? But we're going to get there pretty quickly.
And it immediately at that moment turns into the most important thing in Charlotte's life for everyone to be at because it's important to Harry.
Yes, absolutely. And now Lisa is saying that her flight from Atlanta doesn't land until 4, so Herbert will have to get the kids to Governor's Island. And Herbert doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, he doesn't remember any of this. And they talk about it in the writer's room project about couples not remembering or forgetting to say things. And, you know, my boyfriend does this. He has ADHD, and it admits to me that sometimes he has full conversations in his brain that he hasn't shared with me.
And I wonder, because even the writer's room disagreed on whether or not Lisa had communicated this with Herbert.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I will never know. It seems like a crazy thing for her to have not brought up.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Mark is with me is he will say he'll say like, well, you know, when I get home tonight after the event, I'm like, wait, what event? He's like, oh, sorry, I just told you that in my head. And he will apologize and like, you know, we have a mutual understanding, but it can be frustrating.
And even though like, I told you, but did you, I guess is their way of like, we're not going to continue this fight, but we're also not going to agree.
Right. And he has to take pictures for his campaign as comptroller, and he needs to be doing regular guy stuff, which isn't glamping on Governor's Island. And I did look into glamping on Governor's Island.
I did as well, because I didn't know this was a thing. And it is. Collective Retreats is the organization that runs it.
Yeah, they're around for the tents is what I was looking at, which is what looks like at least Charlotte and Harry have. They're about $300 a night.
Yes.
It was actually less expensive than I thought it was going to be, but it's also about $300 a night, and it includes a continental breakfast and s'mores. You do have to pay for dinner and obviously any other things you do at Governor's Island, but it is it's a higher end experience. So it's not regular guy stuff.
Right. And it's funny how like, I guess we can get to it more when we get to it, but like, this is something that I don't think that I would have any interest in doing unless someone wanted to pay for it for me. Like for me, like I'd rather just get on the ferry and be back in my apartment.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it looked kind of fun. I kind of want to do it, but I would probably, if I'm going to pay $300 to stay somewhere, I might go somewhere I haven't been or that I don't have access to all the time. Also, what's not regular guy stuff is the extravagant breakfast spread at the Wexley home.
Yeah, we're going to get to some not regular guy stuff as we go along with this. And I will say that in the next scene, the very first thing I wrote was, it's Linda at the bank.
See, I didn't know that.
So I will fully confess that Ring-a-ding-ding is an episode that I have watched. It's amongst my most watched episodes of Sex and the City. I love that episode. It's an easy one, especially if Annabelle and I are hanging out. That's an episode that will pop in. That whole little string there of episodes is so good. And yeah, it's Linda, the same bank employee.
And her name was Linda then, too.
Her name was Linda. I don't think they even say her name in this, do they?
They do, Linda Baker.
Okay, they do.
Well, they don't say her name, but she has a nameplate that says Linda Baker.
Gotcha. So yeah, Seema is explaining her situation, and I would actually like to know more. I'd be curious to know what Seema's financial situation is, because didn't she still own stocks in that real estate company? Like, did she not get like a fairly massive payout?
Right, and I would think that she owned something because her name is on the wall.
Right.
So like she has to, because it says, you know, you have no income. Well, you could see. And there's a lot of just back and forth. Do you feel me, Linda? They do say Linda, because there's do you feel me, Linda?
Yes. And she did all the work, and the man with slightly more power got all the credit. And Linda refers to her supervisor, who is out for the day.
If you feel me.
Yeah. And she has a lot of overhead. Do you really need a driver?
She needs her Mercedes so that people know that she means business.
And Linda's supervisor is just awful.
Yeah.
It's an interesting scene. I was very happy to see Linda. I hope she's doing okay. I think this I don't want to call it revisionist history, but that like everything was awful between her and her former boss. I'm kind of like, I thought you guys really got along. I get that you were unhappy with how it ended. There are just details that I'd be curious about here. And Carrie has a gift basket and Duncan appears with his pipe.
What I was thinking, though, is your neighbor is mad at you for wearing the heels. If I was bringing over a gift basket to apologize for the noise, it might be the time I put on a flat.
Yeah, I don't know if Carrie owns any flats.
Well, she's about to.
Not really. As someone who doesn't understand wanting to keep your shoes on when you get home, the idea of wearing heels in your home seems even crazier, but apparently it's a hill that she's willing to die on.
Well, and also he's let her know that he sleeps during the day. So why are you going to his apartment during the day wearing the thing that keeps him awake? But he is awake and smoking an old-timey pipe. The first thing I noticed was his apartment looked not renovated. Not at all like hers.
Yes. So I don't know if the situation is just that, like, this has never been redone. I guess they wanted to make it be a stark contrast between where she lives and where he lives.
Mm.
And I don't see a tea time in the neighborhood, but there are many tea places nearby. And ostensibly, everything in the basket is local.
And he gives her a gift in an Amazon bag. He didn't strike me as someone that would shop at Amazon.
Well, I think the idea is once again, it's the contrast that Carrie went around the neighborhood buying things specifically from their area as sort of a welcome to the neighborhood, though he's been there longer than she has. And he just ordered something off of Amazon.
To get her to be quiet.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
Right. It's just the contrast of like the effort she put into it versus he was like slippers.
Yeah. And they're ugly slippers and she is offended because she is allergic.
And I wrote, honestly, good for her for outwardly rejecting them, because I would have at least pretended and taken them. And part of me is like, I guess good for you. If this is important enough to you, you're going to say like, I'm not going to wear those.
Right. And she will soon have a thick rug. And she doesn't even know if she can walk without heels. And now they're talking about the garden. And he liked the old garden. She reminds him it was a rat highway. And I think she's being a little tough on him. But I also think it's to make this sexual tension.
Well, they were very specific in which they didn't want it to at all come across as a meet cute.
Mm-hmm.
That they didn't want it to be like, obviously there is something happening here, but they didn't want it to play at all like, oh, that it is more just like, no, these two are not getting along.
Right, but that's a meet cute. Yeah. Like that also we know happens in so many rom-coms where it's like they meet each other and they hate each other.
But I think this is less cute.
Okay.
I think they're trying to take the cute out of meet cute in a way.
Okay.
And I do like that we end with Carrie saying, this is New York City. There's noise. And now, granted, there are exceptions to this when someone is being outrageously loud or something is, you know, an out of control noise. But I do have those moments where I'm like, well, you do live in New York City.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting to me is that, you know, we later find out that he is in London for play in New York City to work and write. And if that's all you're here for, then pick a cabin in the mountains. Pick somewhere.
Quiet. Exact same thing. I'm like, why are you in Manhattan then?
Right. And I could understand, you know, I have a friend who comes here who has two houses and he's here because he feels inspired by the energy of the city. Sure, but this guy doesn't even leave his apartment.
Right. Doesn't know anybody, we'll establish. Well, we'll get to that later. And now we're with Charlotte and Anthony, and she seems very distracted, and Rock and Lily don't want to go glamping, and Rock caves pretty quickly, which I did like that. I like that, like, we're in this together, I'm out.
Yeah, and it looks like Charlotte's making a pesto, which I'd like to try. And very quickly, Rock also breaks their newfound veganism, which is such a teenage thing to do. I think
we weren't
vegan. I wasn't sure, like, I didn't really know about veganism, but everyone goes through that vegetarian phase, or they still are vegetarian, but you forget. You're like, oh no, wait, I forgot. I'm supposed to be a vegetarian this week.
And Charlotte yelling that glamping is going to be a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we get to Lily talking about how she splits her weekends with Diego's boyfriend, Eric. And Eric will now get both nights, which will put her at a disadvantage. And listen, for time and eternity, and I'm not even saying Diego's a bad guy. I'm not saying that. For time and eternity, we have all dated people who probably could have treated us better.
Yes.
It's never going to stop. Forever and ever, people will fall for those that aren't giving them all that they deserve. But I feel like this could have been an opportunity for Charlotte to say, Lily, are you getting everything you want out of this relationship?
Well, I also really love the way Rock mouths Eric to Anthony. Like, yes, I love that Rock and Anthony get each other. I feel like even though Rock is super progressive with their values, and they're the ones that are kind of bringing all the social justice into the Golden Blatt home, I do feel like Rock and Anthony get each other in this old school way. I don't know why. And Charlotte says she can make up time with her polyamorous, polysexual boyfriend, which, there it is. That's what I was fighting for in the last episode, was that Eric is polyamorous and polysexual.
I'm still on my side.
And also in the podcast, they refer to him as being pansexual, which is not what polysexual is. So get it together. And just like that.
And can you believe this is what parenting is? And Rock misses cheese. And I do like that, even though they clearly like each other, that Anthony has the moment of like, then eat some.
I miss cheese too. I've discovered as I approach 40 that I have developed newfound IBS, which is triggered by most dairy except butter. And I'm very mad about it.
We had really good ice cream, though.
Mike was witness to one of my last experiences with dairy. We got some amazing gluten-free gelato that was not dairy-free. And there was almost an emergency for me.
Someone had to rush home.
Yeah.
And now we have Carrie on the phone telling Miranda about the slippers. And Miranda responds, but is actually responding to the owner of the Airbnb. And I like Carrie's thing of like, are you always reading texts when we're talking?
And I feel like this is a thing that a lot of people do, and something Carrie wouldn't do, because Carrie is that old school brain where I am on the phone, so I'm talking on the phone. Whereas Miranda, who has been like the working woman of the group for a very long time, is always multitasking. And it's the thing where the Airbnb guy is like, sorry, I can't yell at him because I'm not even supposed to be doing this right now, which is a real thing.
And it's funny that it didn't even occur to me that Carrie should offer Miranda a place to stay while she's looking. But of course, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but also I can see Miranda not wanting to stay with Carrie.
Yes, because Miranda's saying to Carrie that she likes her space, that Carrie likes her space. But what she should have said was that Miranda likes her space. And then that leads to like, could you ask Seema, and Carrie making excuses but should have said she doesn't want to mix business and friendship.
Right. But also, Miranda's not going to be a nightmare client. Miranda would probably be the easiest client Seema's ever had.
I agree. And especially if Seema's looking for some cash, you would think this would actually be a good thing on everyone's
right.
side.
If anything, Carrie might say like, hey, Seema doesn't really have any listings that are probably within your budget, but maybe she can do something. I'll see what she can do.
And Miranda goes to deal with the music again and slips the paper, but this time he emerges naked with a meat cleaver.
And says he will cut her to pieces.
Yeah, that's a lot. This is Tom DiNardo. I feel like we're doing Full Frontal, you'd at least get your name mentioned on our podcast.
Yeah.
And he has done Jessica Jones and Fallout, so I've seen him in other things. I guess that one of the points they try to make is that he's wearing socks, which makes it not sexual. Okay.
I mean, sure. I think he's just walking around. I think it's just trying to give that other, like, New York City vibe of the interesting neighbor.
So now we have Miranda at Carrie's, and I guess they shared a place on Bank Street back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. That's some fun trivia.
Yeah, we didn't. I don't think we've ever talked about Miranda and Carrie living together.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and Carrie is now scolding Miranda for rolling the suitcases and wearing yes. the shoes. And so Miranda should, but I'm also thinking Miranda should take her shoes off because there was a whole conversation at dinner where Miranda's like, just take your shoes off, or at lunch. And now the table is being delivered and I knew it. I knew the moment that Carrie saw it was sold, it was because Aiden bought it.
I wrote, she thinks he's at the door, but it's first dibs and Elise was right.
Yes.
And I do like this moment where Carrie's out there and you see a Miranda kind of emerge happily with her book and then is disappointed that it's not Duncan.
Yeah. And I also like the moment where the delivery guy hands Carrie the iPad. And my first thought was, why is she just telling this guy this whole story? He doesn't care. Like, he's like, but ma'am, just sign this so we can get this. But he's actually into it. And he thinks it's really romantic. It's
very romantic. Yeah. And then Duncan is there, and I don't know, it's such a silly little interaction. But I guess this is also to show us that he's not just an angry guy all the time. That, like,
no.
Miranda is excited to see him and wants her book signed. And I love Carrie's thing of, like, where did that book come from?
Right. I love that like, so yeah. much that he's, like, not a mean guy. He's just angry with Carrie. And once again, I think Carrie's kind of being a little insensitive. I think Duncan's a little bit outrageous for going to New York for his silent retreat, but also Carrie's inability to not wear heels in the house is strange. And I do like that he says she won't need booties. She has no rugs.
Yes. And now we have a quick scene on the plane where they're clearly waiting for a gate and discussing editing. And when they get up, her bag is further back. And I guess this is just to sort of show us Marion's personality, that he's very outgoing
and funny, but and like kind of gives her a hard time in a fun way. But I don't like it because you're not saving anyone right now, Lisa. Like, you're not the most important person on this plane. You have to get to glamping on Governor's Island.
Right.
And in reality, she doesn't get out that much quicker anyway. And I guess this is also all for us to later find out that maybe she has a little guilt about being with Marion and she wants to get to her family as soon as possible, which I understand. But I was kind of irritated with her there.
And I'm dying to know if It's a Man's Name to Chalamet was written on the spot.
Right.
That was a very funny moment to me.
Right. Because they didn't know that the background actor they were going to have was going to look like that. Or maybe they had it written and they just picked the background actor that could fit that the most.
Maybe, because he's not credited. Like, I don't know who the Chalamet guy is, but it's, I thought it was, and even like his kind of like reaction to it, I thought was very funny. Yeah, it was a good moment.
This made me think of two things, which is Adam Sandler saying Chalamet, and then also that meme that's like, I don't know why, but Timothy Chalamet reminds me of this shoe, the name reminds, and it's like one of those pointy swirly elf shoes.
Yes. And now we're on Governor's Island, which is a place that I've still never gone.
Me neither, but I'm not allowed to go with you because apparently that's Jesse's thing to do with you. I got yelled at.
And we have a quick mention of the Lenape tribe, which originally called Governor's Island Nut Island because of the trees that were there. And we found out there's a spa and you can rent go-karts, which Rock kind of uses as a ding.
Yeah, and there is a spa there that I've been wanting to go to.
And now Lisa is here, and I do love Charlotte's kind of half-hearted woo that she gives.
Yeah, and Harry is getting bit by mosquitoes and is the only one, and that's how I am. And Mike has never been bit by a mosquito.
Nope, never. I don't know.
Really, any bugs. Mike is bug resistant.
Bugs hate me. And we have s'mores time, and Herbert says Lisa was supposed to get the chocolate. And now we have another, I told you, did you though? And I don't know, this one is even less certain to me, because while I don't understand a world in which Lisa wouldn't have mentioned a weekend of glamping, I guess I can see a world in which Herbert might have forgot. I don't know. It's an interesting communication thing we're having here.
More importantly, if you do go glamping at Governor's Island, s'mores are included, which is probably why they have this storyline. And I'm assuming they provide the chocolate. So this is inaccurate.
So. But it's really just so that Charlotte can say that, you know, they sell chocolate in the gift shop. It's chocolate, not cancer.
Yeah. And now we have Carrie texting Samantha, who she last texted, if you pause, about maybe sending her a puppy.
Yes. Something about check with your doorman. Yeah.
It's perishable. Maybe it's a puppy. I thought it was interesting here that we are having an actual shot of the screen as opposed to Carrie's voice to text, but maybe just because it's Samantha and we want to see that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And apparently he's a lot of fun. And we're going to have a mention of this character being 6'5". I will say that in reality, Jonathan Cake is almost 6'3".
Okay.
And Miranda's worried about her outfit, wondering if the outfit is too I don't care. And Carrie gets her a scarf and Miranda doesn't want to borrow anything designer-y because she once lost Carrie's Sonia Raquel Domino bag. Now, this is actually a very recognizable bag if you look it up.
How much is it?
About $800.
Oh, okay. Something that I thought, I know we're not like going over everything, but I loved when she said that he lived under her and Samantha says, I wish he was under me, just because it was kind of fun. It was so Samantha. It was actually so Christina Aguilera as Samantha on SNL. But I loved it. But Carrie gives her a scarf to wear and says it's nothing. It's like, it's not, right. It's just a nothing thing to wear. And it pulls everything together.
And now we're at Joy's with the creepy dogs watching. And I guess the thing about this scene is that we didn't see, like, did they go out to dinner already? It feels like they just like went right to making out in the apartment, but I'm sure that's just where we start
the
scene.
Well, I don't know, because even in the scene, Joy says, you know, this is the first time I've invited someone over for a sleepover. So it does feel very much like Miranda was just invited over for a sleepover.
I guess so. And the dogs are Sappho and Socrates.
And they're pervs.
Yes. Well, this is the long line of animals who just want to watch. And Joy's being funny about all of it, but also saying, you know, you look very right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird scene.
I mean, I guess I'm a little bit confused about the outfit, too, because if you are invited over to someone's house for like a house date night, I think it is kind of like an unspoken, you want to dress cute but comfortable. And I think Miranda would even be what I would say is overdressed for a date like
yes.
that. But yeah, now she puts the dogs outside and they're crying. Why didn't I get cats?
Which is, I guess, just so we can then cut to Carrie sleeping with Shoe on her head.
Yeah, which is cute, but I'm also worried Shoe might accidentally poke out Carrie's eyeball.
Well, it's just that thing where clearly Shoe was placed there, and Shoe doesn't want to sleep on her head anyway.
Maybe not, though, because my best friends have dogs, and for a long time when he was a puppy, that's where he wanted to be, was on your head.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And out goes Shoe again, and now there's a naked Miranda. And I guess what I will say about this is that if you thought you were alone in your house and there was suddenly a naked figure, I would probably react even more so than Carrie reacts.
Yeah. If I walked out of my bedroom, which is my whole apartment, so if I walked out of my apartment into the hallway and saw, like, wean out Jensen, I would probably scream.
Yeah, I would scream as well. I'd be like, what am I doing in your apartment building naked?
Yeah.
And then we have the next morning where Carrie is walking on runners to admire her table. And Miranda's at the tiny table. And we have a moment of like, you're wearing clothes. And okay, I don't love the it happens so the episode can happen. That's not my favorite explanation. We are now going to establish that Miranda doesn't know how to behave in someone else's apartment, apparently.
Well, and also on that line, too, Carrie has a mourning heel on. Like, I know I've commented about this before because she was wearing like a heeled slipper. But I do find it hard to believe that when she rolls out of bed and walks downstairs to get her coffee, that she puts on heels. But maybe she does. Yeah, I could kind of understand Miranda seeing the yogurt in the fridge and thinking, oh, this must be Aiden's, and having it because she said Carrie doesn't eat yogurt.
Maybe. I guess if you don't think, but I don't know. I still, the whole idea of like, whose yogurt did you think it was?
I thought it was a house yogurt. Thought it was,
right. Like, Aiden hasn't been there in quite a while. Also, we have the term since I'm 50.
Yes, I heard that.
Okay. Which is that, that's just a New York thing, right?
Yeah, we also, it's happened before in the series.
Yes, where it makes me a little batty, but only because I do, it's just a weird expression to my ears.
Yeah, there's also a thing that happens with people from Pittsburgh and Ohio where they say floor needs swept.
Yes, my joke is the Hamlet speech is just or not. And she also ate the last banana.
Oh, I just got that.
Oh, thank you. It's a thinker. All you used to have for breakfast was a cigarette. And I didn't, it's fine. I didn't see this the first time, but we do then hear Adam talking off camera about talking with Jamie about how they had to stop working because the guy yelled. I don't know. Apparently Duncan yelled at him. This is a lot.
Yeah, Miranda saw it. Offers Carrie the rest of the banana, and I thought the season is very banana heavy, and they even mention it on the podcast that the bananas are kind of a through line now.
And she paid a rush charge for all these runners. I don't know. It's fine. Charlotte enters the tent where everyone's on their phones, and Harry is adamant about zipping up the tent and will not go out for a walk. And it does sort of start to feel like, well, what's the purpose of all this? Like, if you're all going to sit inside in a tent staring at your phone, why are we doing this?
I agree with that. And I think the thing, too, is the kids are starting to realize, is this for Dad? Because Dad doesn't really seem to care. There have been nights in New York City where I've wanted to sleep in a mosquito tent over my bed. Because one has found its way in.
And we have a South Park, They Killed Daddy. I'm glad to know if kids are still watching South Park.
Yeah, I didn't think they were.
Interesting. So Lily asks why she has to be there, and basically she doesn't. Rock asks why she's being so dramatic, and she's going to go for a walk by herself. Mm-hmm. And I wrote, this croque monsieur is better than the one Henry had at the Pierre. Relatable.
Yeah, and LTW takes a picture of the kids with their croque monsieur, and Herbert joins, even though it's not regular guy stuff. None of this is regular guy stuff, Herbert. And while looking at the photo, he scrolls and sees a picture of Marion. And he didn't know he was Michael B. Handsome. And Lisa, in this scene, I was like, is handling this perfectly well. She has answers for everything. She genuinely seems unbothered by all of this. She took it to send to her second editor. So there's two. It's a threesome. I think Herbert was being too much here, but...
I think he was as well, but I think that him being a bit much is sort of what sets her off, because she is aware that she actually does have, however you want to classify them, feelings
right.
for this man.
But we don't know that at that moment, right?
Right. When we look at it in retrospect, while I think that Herbert's being a bit much, he's actually hitting a nerve.
And also, I'm not in their relationship, so Herbert might... You know, just no, Lisa's acting differently than she does. I know that this is something more.
And this is where Charlotte and Lisa meet up by the water, and the spa is mentioned, and we'll get there in a bit. But first we have Seema back at Carrie's talking about the woman at the bank. And it's funny that they're having this conversation about the same person and don't know it.
Yeah, and Carrie is yelling at her to stay on the runner.
Yes. And we go back to see the table.
And this reminds me of when Miranda was a lawyer and had like her books all over her table at her house. Remember those huge law books
right,
everywhere?
Yeah.
That was the original thought I got there. Yeah, Miranda has stuff all over the table and the Coke spills.
Seema goes outside to pace and smoke, and Carrie spills the Coke. And I was kind of glad that it was Carrie that spilled it, because it doesn't put all of the issues on Miranda. And Miranda goes to get paper towels. This happens quickly. So I guess that when things happen quickly, crazy things happen. But Miranda goes to get paper towels, but Carrie tells her to lift her computer. And then Carrie uses Miranda's research as a towel. And then Miranda tries to use the scarf because Carrie said it was nothing. And Carrie says nothing she has is nothing. And then we get to like, is this my last Mexican Coke? Which I guess is what we call Cokes when they have real sugar in them.
Yeah, Cokes. They're called Mexican Cokes because they are from Mexico.
And outside, Jamie is telling Seema that smoking is bad for you. And Adam goes over kind of to apologize. And I like Seema's. I feel like Seema is at her very best when she's paired with Jamie.
I do, too. I think it makes her... You see the real Seema, because I think
it almost grounds her in a way.
And I think it's because she understands that Jamie sees the real Seema, and Jamie doesn't give a shit about anything about her.
There's no artifice.
Right.
There can't be any artifice. And it's such a... Maybe we're making too much out of it, but there is something about it that I actually really, really like.
Me too. And I think that... I love the way they interact with each other. And when Adam comes over and asks for a drag from the cigarette, and you can see that they're definitely flirting. However, we immediately hear that he is seeing a yoga teacher.
Yes. And we have the whole thing of, you know, I can probably get you a discount, which is a funny thing to say to Seema. And then the mean man is there with a really, and I guess this is probably in reference to them smoking.
Maybe, but he smokes in his house.
Yeah.
His funny little pipe.
I don't really get it. And now we're back with Carrie and Miranda thinks they're probably thinking the same thing. And I really do like Carrie's line of like, I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm thinking you should stay forever.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I get it. After a certain age, roommates are not great.
Yeah, it does get tough. You have to like learn to what you're going to care about and what you're not going to care
about. Yeah, and I've had great roommates. And I don't live with my boyfriend, and we've been together for 3 years, and it's because I want to wait till we... I mean, we talked about this last episode, but I want to make sure we have the most ideal situation for us. Yeah, and Seema's going to help Miranda find a place virtually because she didn't get the loan, so she can't do it in person, but that should be easy.
And now we're back on Governor's Island, and Lisa needed this. The overnight was a lot, and can I tell you something? And this is where we do find out that she has a work crush.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte seems distant, and do you want to talk about it? And I'm going to be totally honest. I got choked up in this scene.
Me too.
And I think there's just something so beautiful and simple about Charlotte saying that she can't, because you know I always want to say more. Mm-hmm. I'm that person that I'm like, I want Charlotte to be like, I do want to talk about it, but it's not my thing to talk about, so I can't talk about it, but know that I would if I could. And Charlotte just shakes her head, and Lisa putting her hand on Charlotte's back, I got emotional about it. I thought it was such a beautiful moment between the two of them. And now we're in the back garden again, and Carrie's saying it's going to be amazing, and we do hear beeping at Duncan's place.
And what I found confusing about this is Carrie goes inside because there's a ton of smoke, and we see that Duncan has noise-canceling headphones on, but apparently they also cancel your other senses because he cannot see or smell the fire happening mere feet away from him.
I'm also like, are you cooking that stew to have before you go to bed for the day? What is this sleep schedule? I don't understand.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. But it's all, first of all, I do the moment of Carrie, you know, saying, wow, you're noisy. And aren't you glad I was wearing heels? Which this finally gets us a laugh from Duncan. And there goes my dinner. So now we're going out to dinner.
And we're going out to dinner at Pete's Tavern, which is at 129th East 18th Street.
So in the neighborhood. So this does make sense for their location.
Yeah. It's one of New York's oldest bars.
And we have Carrie saying that she heard that he's fun in London, and when's that going to start? And this is where we kind of get into his routine.
Yeah, and it's a very expensive place to just hole up in an apartment, but maybe it's rent stabilized, maybe it was given to
him. Maybe he owns it.
Fun in London, or work here. Mm. That's the sole reason for New York. I know no one, really. I do nothing. In fact, this is a rare meal out. I routinely just make a stew, I dig in, and I write the bloody book for 6 months until I'm done.
No, it's writing, not time in the gulag.
Oh, says you. I've been particularly out of sorts this trip, though. All thanks to a certain woman.
I'm flattered. But we've just met.
Margaret Thatcher.
Oh.
Yeah. She's my subject. It's the first time I've ever attempted a woman. I'm nervous, I suppose.
Hmm.
Will people accept a woman from me?
I do think it's very interesting phrasing that the line he says is the first time he's ever attempted a woman.
Oh.
Interesting. And yeah. And she's also trying something new and novel, not set in present day. And she's nervous. And that's the first time she said it aloud.
They're gonna F.
Well, but even the way that he says the house is going to be vibrating with anxiety. And I think, is that all that it's vibrating with? That's a very interesting choice of words.
And then she comes home and takes off her shoes and walks like a Barbie.
I almost said the exact same thing. I was like, I like that she still walks on her toes. And it is a Barbie moment where like she's flat footed for just a moment. And then she's like, nope, back on my toes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I just couldn't help but wonder how he thinks coming to New York is going to be the quiet place to write.
And I couldn't help but wonder, you know, they talk about these women getting older quite a bit in this series.
Yes.
And I am younger than them. And if I have... I mean, the heels, they start to take a toll on your feet. So I can't imagine just wanting to be in them all day, especially once you're over 50 years old and you've been walking in them your whole life.
Yeah, it's a bit much. And once again, we go with it because it's the storyline. But I do want to go back and watch Sex and the City and see if she's always in her heel in her apartment.
Yeah.
Or if it's just something that she's done since I'm 50.
What the heel, Carrie?
What the heel indeed. And there we go. So we'll be back next week. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys all for reaching out and sending us things. It's really fun. And we do really love to listen to what you have to say.
And always, once again, always interested in different perspectives. I don't need to be right. Though I usually am.
I was going
to
say, really, Mike?
All right. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Happy Pride.
For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation. You can listen to my other podcast, Mike and Vanya Can't Not, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link, or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. As always, take care of yourself, and let's take care of each other.
And she needs her Mercedes. Mercedes.
Carrie has a gift Beckett. Beckett, did I say?
Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Marge Simpson.
Marge Simpson passed away?
Yeah, I've been seeing it on the internet that she died in The Simpsons.
Oh.
Do you watch The Simpsons?
I do.
Okay, well, in the most recent episode, apparently she dies.
Interesting. I guess I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
Spoiler, at least.
Sorry. Mike starts sobbing.
It's too soon. Yeah, so Lily asks why she has to be there, and basically she doesn't.